Brothers and sisters in Christ, the fall quarter is far enough along for most of you to have experienced the discipline of at least one quiz, or at least the red pencil of a rough prof. And most have lived long enough to have experienced the death or the illness of a loved one. Most have personally experienced sickness and other hardships. And perhaps the discipline you are experiencing now is one of a more financial nature. Our reading from Hebrews reveals that no life can be of any value apart from discipline. I think the older we get, the more we realize this truth. A father always disciplines his child. It would not be the mark of fatherly love to let a son do absolutely what he himself pleased and have nothing but an easy road. If a father did this, it would not show his love for his son. Rather, that he regarded the son as no better than an illegitimate child to whom he felt neither love nor responsibility. So also the Lord disciplines him whom he loves. If you are left without discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Just suppose the Heavenly Father withheld discipline. Suppose God no longer allowed any trials to come into our lives. If a father quits giving discipline, he no longer is a father, and the son has lost his sonship. How tragic it is when a father does not give his children what should be coming from him. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Now, earthly parents are correct, certainly, when they try to subdue unruly passions or teach us to restrain our appetites or impress on us the maxims of health and prosperity and prevent things that would impede our happiness in this life. Painful at the time as correction may have been, yet when we have fully understood the design of it, we have loved our parents all the more. At times our parents have improperly chastened us because they are far from perfect. In an earthly parent, there is often much that is the result of hasty emotion or love of power. Sometimes discipline is inflicted without due reflection, and this produces pain in the heart of the parent himself in the recollection. Yet with all this imperfection of parental government, our text says, we nonetheless respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Jesus himself suffered every stroke of retribution that we deserved. For the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He got what was coming to us. He had more than his share of adversity. He was falsely accused, was the victim of false arrest, was dragged through a false trial, condemned to die, spiked to a cross, ridiculed by the multitude he had tried so desperately to help. Yet in all of this, he said to his disciples, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If there was anyone who deserved to be spared trouble, he did. Yet it pleased the Father in heaven to place all man's punishment on his own dear Son. And as God's children, we receive his discipline and not his punishment. For his punishment that we deserved was all placed on Jesus on the cross. Have you ever noticed the close connection between discipline and disciple? A disciple of Christ is one who is disciplined, who is in training, one who is learning through discipline from his master. Our Lord would teach his present-day disciples to look on all the disciplines of life and to look on these disciplines as sent to work not to injury, but for harm, or for harm, but for one's ultimate and highest good. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It would be tragic if we understood the blessed end of God's fatherly chastening and discipline. Remember Paul's experiences when, after being caught up to the third heaven, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh. 3 times he begged the Lord to remove it, but the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now remember Paul's glorious response. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God takes away to give you more. God cuts to make you whole. God stings to make life pleasant. And God kills to make one alive. May that time come when we too will know how everything in our lives served God's good and gracious will, as we prayed for it in our litany today. When the Lord Jesus comes to us into our lives through his blessed word and his holy sacraments, he brings to every Christian the capacity to face up to any adversity. Unfortunately, there are those of us who still regard God as a vindictive God. When something happens to them or to those whom they love, they question, "What did I deserve to get this?" The question is asked in such a spirit and in such a tone as to make it clear that they regard the whole matter as an unjust and unmerited punishment from God. It never dawns on them to ask instead, "What is my Father trying to teach me? What is God trying to make of me? What is the Lord trying to do with me through this experience that has come into my life?" Jesus knows all about that which disturbs us and troubles us. His word and meal, we receive the assurance that God the Father is our partner in all of life's griefs and losses and burdens. For he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? God has given us the very finest gift by giving us his own dear son. Therefore, you can be sure that he will have deep concern for you in every other need of your life. Those who have Jesus Christ can see God's purpose even in every pain. May our Lord Jesus keep this vision always before us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.